Go get your stuff.
Glory to God.
Thanks,
somebody shout, I'm getting my stuff back. All right. Hallelujah. Some of you have seen my wife. She's been in and out. She's receiving her healing. So I don't know if she'll sneak out or she's watching in the back. But glory to God. So y'all remember last week we had Regina here. That was good. Wasn't it good? And I appreciate you blessing her and taking care of her. And now we have another traveling minister who's going around telling everybody how awesome you are. And so then we're going to get more calling now. Hallelujah. But that's good. That's all right. Hallelujah. It was a good night, and I appreciate your kindness and the fact that you were here. The last time Pastor Rhonda was ministering, let's go to Mark chapter 11. And I'm going to pick up and talk some more about along her line of what she was doing. And because she was going to minister tonight, and I was going to go my way. I thought, you know, I had another plan, and then prayed, and then this is what we got. Mark 11, 25 and 26. And when you stand praying, forgive. Everybody say forgive. Forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, everybody say forgive. Forgive. Neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Everybody say forgive. Forgive. So we have to forgive, right? I said we have to forgive, right? Listen, this is really big. You know, I really believe in some ways the love message is the most underpreached message in the body of Christ. We're going to get to it in a little bit, but Galatians 5:6 says faith works by. So, you know, when we spend a lot of time teaching on faith, one of the things my spiritual father was known for, Kenneth E. Hagin, was known for his faith walk. But everybody who knew him said if you really know him, you'd know that he was really known for his love walk. That's why his faith walk was so good, because his love walk was so good. And I've never had a book written about me, or I can't pull up my name yet, and I pray that I never have to, and have a bunch of nasty negative things said about me. But he used to say this, if they would say I killed my own grandmother, I would not answer back. Something like that. I'm not Brother Hagin. You know, all his people tell stories, and most of them are wrong when they try to repeat them, and probably some of the ones I did. But I'm saying his love walk was, you know, from what I've heard people say that were close to it, is amazing. And so how many want your faith walk to be great? Then what's got to be great? Your love walk. And so you can't have any unforgiveness. How much unforgiveness can you have? How much walking out of love can you have? How much ill-treating people can you have in your life? How much of a nasty mouth can you have? How much of a tale bearer can you be? How much of a gossip can you be? There's a whole lot of nuns there. Oh, we went to the Catholic Church. Hallelujah. that was a funny by the Holy Ghost. No. Luke 17:1. Luke 17:1. I've got three sermons up here. And we'll see what we do. Then he said to the disciples, it's impossible that offenses will come. How many know offenses come? What's the next one? But woe. I like the word woe. I always get irritated at my wedding ceremonies when they take this out. I have this thing I do called woe into anyone who would tamper with this union. Nobody wants to hear the woes anymore. But it's true for that because it's a covenant. And there is a woe unto anyone within the marriage or outside the marriage. Woe to anyone who tampers with it. God's very serious about his covenants. And then here, how many know God's serious about you? He don't want anybody doing anything to you, but he also doesn't want you doing anything to anybody else. But woe unto him through whom they come. That is not just talking about unbelievers. Don't get quiet on me. It were better for him that a millstone were hung around his neck and cast in the sea, that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourself. If your brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. Doesn't mean you have to take it. You can say, hey, I don't like the way you talked to me just then. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he repent, do what? Forgive. See, listen, we can't control what comes to us. We can only control our response to what comes to us. Well, Pastor Mark, if you've been what I've been through, oh, we can match each other all night long. How my life is worse than your life. How my life is harder than your life. I said worse. But does that do anybody any good? Because we still all have to respond. And if we were, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but we don't have to respond in our own personality. If that's where you're still responding from, then there's your trouble. Because God made a way where you don't have to respond from you anymore. Because look here. If they trespass against thee seven times in a day, if someone hacks you off seven times in the same day, and they turn again saying, I repent, we should say, no, you messed me over one too many times. You've annoyed me, yea, this once. You and I are all grateful that when we do something, we can ask God. And we expect him to do what? And forget. And the apostle said unto the Lord, I'm with you. This has got to be Peter, right? Increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you would say to the sycamore tree, be thou plucked up in the root and planted in the sea, and it'll obey you. So we can use our faith and need to use our faith to forgive people. Now, just listen to these. Ephesians 4:32. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. What are we supposed to be? How do you want your faith to work? Jesus said, after the great Mark 11, 22, 23, and 24, all that's good, but if you have unforgiveness, if you're not walking in love, then your faith's not going to work. Now you understand what church are you? Do y'all understand what church you're in? And you need to, if you've been around here any length of time, you know that I believe the promises of God are yes and amen, and I believe your faith works, and I believe faith always works. And don't misquote me, but see, you can confess all day long. Say all the right words in four different translations. And you can work all the faith principles. But if you do not act in and walk in love, and if you have unforgiveness in your heart, this is not going to work. And a lot of times what happens in our kind of circles, and I am talking about our circles, is people see people running around the room, lifting their hands, saying all the right things, and then it doesn't work for them. And then they say, it can't be true. But you see, we don't know what they're doing the rest of the week and the rest of the day. We don't know how they're treating people. I mean, you even look at, I pick on guys all the time because I am one. I am one. You know, if I treated my wife wrong at home, if in other words, I talked about her the way I do here and tell her how wonderful and lovely she is and she's my best friend and all that kind of stuff, I do that, you know, and she looks goo-goo at me and all that kind of stuff. But if I go home and talk nasty to her and mean, and you never know it, because she's not the kind of woman who would tell. Well, no, that's not true. That is not true. That is not true. If she were the kind of woman who would. But see, we don't know everything. And just because someone acts the part can get all the Christianese down or the word of faith stuff. See, I want this to work for you. And it is working for many of you. And I want it to work for everybody. How do we make sure it works? Well, we got to be doers of the word. and doers of the work. And so if you got a lot of harvest laying undone, maybe the problem wasn't your confession. Maybe the problem is your love walk. So how many of that, don't get quiet on me, it could be fixed, right? Come on, everybody say, I'm fixing it. I'm going to fix it. Are you going to fix it? Hallelujah. Now see, you don't have the expertise. I live with the love walk queen. And so I remember, you know, I've had some personal instruction. And from my wife and the Lord. And I appreciate it. Because we have to make sure that in every area of our life, we don't hold unforgiveness. Because unforgiveness comes when? Well, most of the time when you have unforgiveness in your heart, it comes from someone who meant something to you, who hurt you. If they don't mean nothing to you, their unkind words usually don't hurt you. Unless you're just so thin-skinned that, you know. I mean, that does happen, all right? Nobody likes it. But you understand? So there's a genuineness there to be like, oh, I deserve to be mad. I deserved it. They should not have done that to me. No, they shouldn't have. But how you respond to it, that's why Peter said, Lord, then give us some faith. Because it's going to take faith. And it does. And so let's look at this. Let's look at Galatians 5, 6, Amplified. We have not as many people here as we need tonight, as I think, unless they're working it. Galatians 5, 6, Amplified. It says, and Pastor Rhonda looked at this, for if we are in Christ Jesus, do I got anybody in Christ Jesus? Neither circumcision or uncircumcision count for anything, but only faith. I like these four words, activated, energized, expressed, and working through love. So love, but only faith. It's your faith is activated, turned on. It's energized. It's expressed. And it works through love. Now, let's just do it. Ephesians 3, 17 through 19, activated. Activated. How do you activate it? Ephesians 3, 17 through 19. May Christ through your faith actually dwell, settle down, abide, make his permanent home in your hearts. May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love. Everybody say, I am rooted deep in love and founded securely on love. That you may have the power to be strong to apprehend and grasp with all the saints, God's devoted people, the experience of that love, what is the breadth, length, the height, the depth of it, that you may really come to know practically through experience for yourselves the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge, that you may be filled through all your being until all the fullness of God may have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself. So we're rooted and grounded deep in his love, we're founded securely on it. Energized. Romans 5 and 5 says the love of God is what? Now this is where I said your personality is no longer what you respond from. If you're responding to people out of your personality. So you've heard this about me, but I'm the only one up preaching. Let's see who's else in the room that I know some stuff about their personality that I could share about. But I'll just do mine. My personality, when I was in unforgiveness, was passive-aggressive. I would be nice to your face, but I'd fix your wagon. One way or the other. Sometimes, to this day, people don't know how I got back at them. It's mean. It's not godly. Devilish. Other people just return unkindness. Someone was rude to them. They double it down, press it down, shake it together, run it over, and deal it back. You can't talk to me that way. Well, respond all you want with your personality, but your faith won't work. Your faith won't work. That's why things linger on people. That's why they can't seem to get rid of them. Because they put their personality above what's shed abroad in their heart by the Holy Ghost. And because, listen to me, God doesn't just love God, and you're his body. And he can't violate his word. And so he can't tolerate people who won't walk in love. Because, see, we have no more excuse. Well, so, Pastor Mark, sometimes it's hard. I know it's hard. That's why it's shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. It sounds like you think you always respond perfectly. I didn't say that. But I know when I don't respond properly, that's when my faith won't work. And how many know sometimes you don't have hours to get your faith to work? You ever had something happen in your family where you need your faith to work right now? You don't have an hour to go through your list of who you've been holding a grudge against. We got to live clean. Everybody good? I'm good. Are you good? Everybody say, my faith works by love. And the love of God is shed abroad in my heart. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. The love of God. Not a part of God's love. God's love. God is love. That's why this is a huge deal to him. This is huge to him. And you know some of the other stuff, and I got to hurry. So it's expressed. The love of God is expressed. It works. So I literally have three sermons up here for you. I don't get to talk to you much on Wednesday nights anymore. So I guess that old fear of you're not going to be back here. So I got to talk to you. I got to tell you everything. But I don't. Let's look at this. Let's see if we can't do this in 15 minutes. Or 40. How many of you know what? Y'all know what 1 Corinthians 13:8 says, right? It says his love never, never. How long is it never? God is love, and his love never fails. How many of you know what kind of a huge promise or saying that is? Never. So I've learned if I walk in that love, I'll never fail. And in every situation I'm in, no matter how bad my soul or my personality wants to respond, not perfect at it, but if I'll yield to the love that's shed abroad in my heart, not my personality, not what I want to do, not what I think they need, not what I think they deserve. A lot of times, you know, we have to be careful. I'm not God, and you're not God. We're all glad that each other's not God. Right? Very glad. But we're all supposed to be acting like him. We're supposed to be imitators, especially in this area. He's put so much weight on this. I'm going to jump ahead. But how do people know we're his disciples? He's put so much weight on it. Do you understand why he gets so irritated when we don't walk in it? And it's not that he's a withholder, but it's a prefe nihase pukchnahai prakasa. It's like a regulator. To show you in the natural when it's not working in your life, that your faith is not able to work because your love life, your love of God and people is off. And so he's put an open regulator so that we can adjust. Because God is love. And he can't bless you over unforgiveness. He can't. Well, God can do anything. No, he can't do anything. He can only do what he says in his word. He's limited himself. Well, I thought he was sovereign. He is sovereign, and he's lit by his sovereignty. He limited himself to his word, and he can't go around it. And so he can't just willy-nilly, is that a word? No, it's probably not. He just can't go around it and do whatever he wants just because he loves you. He does love you, but he needs us to walk in accordance with the word, and faith works by love. And then he gave us an advantage, and he said, look, I'll help you out because I understand you want more faith and you need help because people can be mean, people can be ornery. But I'm gonna put something in you that if you'll learn to yield to, it's shed abroad in your heart, that if you walk out of your heart, you can walk in forgiveness. And you can walk in love. And your faith will work. And so with that God kind of love in us, how do you know if you're really walking in love? Because you're walking in the God kind of love. Everybody talks about the God kind of faith. What's the God kind of faith? But there's also a God kind of love. It's not the same love as human love. It's not. It's the agape love. So we want to all know about the God kind of faith. Well, the God kind of faith works by the God kind of love. And if you don't know what the God kind of love is, and you substitute it for human love and call that love, then you're not going to be able to walk in faith. Y'all understand what I'm saying to you? Are you with me? So what is the God kind of love? Just review-wise. Number one, God loved you first. Did he not loved you? He loved you when you were nasty, when you were a sinner, when you were altogether unlovely. Did he love you? He loved first. Everybody say, God loves first. The love of God abroad, shed abroad in your heart will cause you to love before somebody loves you. Human love demands equality. Pay attention to me. Human love demands equality. The way you love me, the way you treat me, is the way I'll treat you back. And I'll press it down and shake it together too. That is human love. That is your personality. And it stinks. And the higher you go up in God, the more he requires you, the more you and I represent. Because, have mercy on me. Jesus, help me. But have you ever seen, people telling me, well, I saw this well-known minister, and he was so, or she was so rude. Well, what is that? Well, people, they're ministers, but they're not perfect. You shouldn't judge them. Well, no, the higher up we go. Y'all with me? The more responsibility you have, the more you ought to act like him and talk like him. I know I'm making some of you uncomfortable, but I ain't moving. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad he loved you first? Aren't you glad he didn't tell you to shape up before he came in? Isn't that what a lot of people think salvation is? Well, I'm going to get it together, then I'm going to ask him to come in. You can't get it together without him. He has to come in to get it together. Number two, he loves you unconditionally. He loves you unconditionally. He loved us when we were dead in our sins. The prodigal son is one of the best illustrations of unconditional love. You got the father who represents the Father God. His son did him wrong, took all his money, ran away, spent it all on women and wine, and he ends up in a pig pen eating what pigs eat. He comes to himself and said, well, at least I can go back to dad's house and I can work as a servant. At least I could eat with the servants. But you know the account, the father in the parable is looking for. He saw his son afar off. That's unconditional love. That's a love that is anticipating and hoping that even if somebody messed up, they're going to get it back. They're going to be all right. And I'm not going to hinder them. Now, I can hear my wife in my ear. She's probably back there watching. Now, tell them, though, but I'm not talking about somebody who abused you. You can love somebody you can put them in prison and love them. You know, we're not talking about you getting beat down, but we're talking about an unconditional love where even if somebody did you really wrong, you don't have to be involved in their life, but you want the best for them. You want them to be saved and have everything that God has for them. I may never see you again, but have a good life, and I'm not going to be rooting against you. I'm going to be rooting for you. God's love is unconditional. Father was looking far off, and when he came back, he loved him back in and gave him a robe, gave him his ring, put sandals on him, threw a party. Personality love, natural love, says, why are you doing that for him? The brother, the other brother, I call it I call it the other believer syndrome or something like that, where as a Christian, you're like, I've been here forever. I've been helping you out forever. I've been doing things forever. You never threw me a party, and yet that scoundrel was off doing what he did, and you came back and threw him a party, and the father said, everything I've ever had is yours. Oh, I know, I call it the other brother syndrome. Because a lot of times, you know, we secretly, those of us who have been faithful and we're always right and we're so precious in God's sight and we've done everything just right, and then somebody who really messed up and they come back and it seems like God does everything, we secretly are like, what's up with that? That's the personality, your love, that's personality. Somebody ought to work for, somebody ought to have to pay. Faith works by love. What kind of love? Love that loves first. Love that's unconditional. Love that gives its best. For God so loved the world that he loved who? Well, he loved me because he knew I was going to believe in him. No, he loved the world. Listen to me. You can't earn the love of God. God loves you no more today than when you were a nasty sinner. I lost 2/3 of you on that one. I'll tell you that again. God doesn't love you any more today. You can walk in his blessings today. You can have his benefits today because you're obeying him and you love him and you have an intimate relationship with him. No, I think his love's grown for me. I can't find that in the word. He loves everybody the same. And he loved you while you were a sinner. And he loves the world so much. That's why you and I gotta be careful when we run into them sinners and them saints who aren't doing so right, how we talk to them, how we treat them. Listen, in the day we live in, you don't need to condone sin. You can still call sin sin, but you can love everybody. You can love them. You need to love them. I think people have gotten a mistake there. Well, if you love me, then you love me the way I am. I don't even love me the way I am. Why would I love you the way you are? We need to change. Y'all need to change. Everybody say, everything's changing. It is for the good. Hallelujah. So he gave us his best. Greater love hath, John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Did Jesus do that? He did. God's love is an everlasting love. Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord hath appeared unto me, an old appearing to me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. The love of God that's in you is an everlasting love. My goodness. Romans 8:5-39, it says nothing can separate us from the love of God. Is that right? This is all these qualities and characteristics of God's love. That's what's in you. That's the ability you have to give. I know I keep saying it. Make sure you're not responding with human love and out of your personality. Because I think everybody's personality can be kind, can be good. But you see, if that's all you if that's where you respond, if you get good at that's where you respond to. And maybe in your life, you don't have a lot of turmoil. Or maybe most people don't offend you. Or, you know, your life is a little happy and everything is good. And so you get used to responding out of your personality. But even in good times, we shouldn't respond out of our personality. We should respond out of our heart, out of our cardia, out of the center of us with the love of God. With the love of God. And now, if you know anything about the love of God, you say, oh, yeah. It's, you know, God, gushy love. Well, no. Whom he loves, he... Come on, y'all remember that chastisement stuff? That shearing action? Cut it off. Praise God. Who he loves, he corrects, rebukes. So no, love's not, God's love's not always, it's not gushy. See, that's still thinking human. Well, if I love them, I really couldn't ever correct them or tell them the truth, because hardly anybody can handle the truth these days. Even with the truth, you don't have to be mean. Oh, that dress looks fabulous on you. Y'all think I'm about to get in trouble, but I ain't. I don't say that. Well, so we've learned some language. It's not my favorite. Not my favorite. It's not a lie, but it's not. So it doesn't have to be harsh. And this correction thing, so we can buzz on by here real quick. You're not the corrector in chief of everybody. So don't have to worry about it. There's very few people in your life that have that place. God does. The word does. When I preach the word, it will have some of that in it. Because that's just the nature of the word. It's always fixing us. Your parents ought to. In our society today, I mean, there ought to be people that we can receive correction from. You should have friends around you. I mean, come on. If I'm sitting at dinner and I got spinach between my teeth and I'm talking to you the whole time and you let me talk to you with spinach between my teeth until I get home, I'm going to be mad at you and call you and tell you, you are not my friend. Well, I didn't want to be embarrassed. I didn't want to embarrass you. I'm embarrassed because I got spinach in my teeth. That's not nice of you. Oh, I didn't want to make it the moment uncomfortable. So you let me do that for 4 hours. All right. Let's get to the punchline. Oh, Pastor, I already feel punched. Hallelujah. No. All right. 1 John 4:20. You know this. This is where I want to get to because we're going to do something tonight. We got to do it quick before we go. If a man say, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he that loves not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love a God who he has not seen? Matthew 22:37-40. Jesus said unto him, you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is likened unto it. You'll love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Pastor Rhonda, when she taught that up here, I'd never seen that before. That was amazing. John 13:34-35. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. John 13:34-35. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. We have to love one another the exact qualities with which God loves us. What is that? What are those again? To love first, to love unconditional, to give our best, for it to be an everlasting love, that nothing separates us from that love. That's the love that's shed abroad in our heart. God has put such, the Father has put such a thing on this. This is how I should be able to judge. Not if you talk in tongues. Not if you can run around the room. Not if you can confess all the right scriptures. But do you love your brother and sister in Christ? And do you act like it? Because love is an action. It's not mere words only. How do you treat them? Are you showing them kindness? Well, but they did this, and they do you love them? How would Jesus treat them? How is the world going to know? The Bible says all the world will know that you're my disciples because you have love one for another. It doesn't say love for those you just like, the ones you get along with, the one that go to your connect group, the ones that go to your church, the ones who look like you. How can you love a God you've never seen if you can't love somebody who is a born-again believer that you can look at eyeball to eyeball? He didn't say they were perfect. Listen to me. I get it. When someone mistreats us, especially if it's over and over again, if somebody annoys us, I know if especially over and over again, they messed us over, bad business deal, stole your parking place, took your seat, said, you know, you root for Alabama and they said something mean, they cry, you know, war eagle and you roll tide, whatever. It doesn't matter. I mean, but those are small things, but then, you know, just big things even. We still have to respond with the love of God. You say, well, somebody needs to straighten them out. Well, you can straighten somebody out in love. How can you tell? Are you really trying to help them, or do they just annoy you and you want to dismiss them? Pastor Ron and I have been accused of being too merciful. But whatsoever a man sows, that he also reaps. I'm going to get you to do something. We're going to do it the way I saw. I tried to run out time where I wouldn't have to do this. Can JC, can you move that? First of all, I want all my staff to come that's in the room right now to come stand right here. If you work for me and I signed your paycheck, that means you. You can't get out of it right now. And they're not all in here. I think I got about 14 of them this day, and so there are not too many in the room tonight. They're all out helping somewhere or something. Two of them are on vacation. I don't know why we let that Robert ever go on vacation. I think I saw them here tonight. They're back there on vacation. Oh, here comes Dion. All right, so you're all looking at me. Good. What's he going to do? Well, he's not done yet. I want everybody who is in leadership, if you come to one of my three leadership meetings, under shepherd, deacon, or leaders meeting, come up and stand right behind them. There's usually about 40 of those, and so we'll see who's all skipping tonight. No, it's a, what week is it? It's a fall break. Okay, so y'all take a couple steps forward. All right. And don't think you out there are going to get out of this. But these are all going to be representative of my staff. Me, Pastor Rhonda, the staff, the leaders here. We're going to make a bold confession. Y'all trust me up here, right? Everybody trust me? Nobody's scared, right? Okay. You might want to be. Okay, so we're just going to confess some things. And then you all stand out there. They're going to do it as a representation of the staff and leadership. And you all do it as the church, representation of the church. So don't be thinking about this. I want it to come out of your heart. Are you ready? Because the love of God shed abroad. Say this, the love of God
shed abroad
in my heart.
The way that I love my neighbor.
The actions I have towards my neighbor.
Let it come back to me.
Good measure.
Pressed down.
Shaken together.
Running over.
Shall men
give to me
the measure of love.
The actions of love.
That I give to them.
And I do this
in the presence of God.
And so that what the Holy Ghost put in my heart was, we've got to be bold and confident
that we're walking in love. And we have to be able to boldly say, whatever I'm doing to somebody else, I invite it back to my life. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. It'll cause you to think about something before you do it. You ready? There's more. How do you know this had to work through me before you got it? The same way I show kindness,
gentleness,
meekness,
and forgiveness.
Let it come back to me.
Good measure.
Pressed down.
Shaken together.
Running over.
Shall men
give unto my bosom.
Amen.
Why is this so important for a church, for a leadership team, for the church as a whole? Because this is how God marks things. By this, he's saying to the world, by the way we all walk in love, you ought to know that there's a God in heaven who is love. The way we treat one another, the way I treat JC, the way I treat this cute little boy, and the way I treat Chad, Lord help me, it's going to be easier for you now, hallelujah. I mess with Wesley a lot, but I do it in love. The reality is, the way I dish it out, I just invited it back. Good measure. It's working anyway. You know, that is a giving scripture, but wherever a man sows, that shall he also. And love is God's thing. And so it's real important that we do this. I think, you know, we pray for revival all the time. But if we would all just start walking in God's love, like the Bible teaches us, there's a revival. There's a revival. If a bunch of people could watch a bunch of people, and you know what? I talk about this a lot, but they ought to be able, and I hope they do, are able to come to Cornerstone, because everybody here is from so many different backgrounds and cultures and nations and everything. We always tell people, and I have a lot of people when they come in to visit, they say, well, this is what heaven looks like, and I believe that. And we're going to keep showing forth that, only we're going to take it up a notch. Amen? So I know it's just on Wednesday night, but there was hardly anybody here tonight when it started. And I was thinking, well, Lord, I want more people to hear this because I believe this is good. And y'all came, and we're going to be the core that carries this, and we're going to be the examples. Amen? Y'all brave and good, and y'all brave and good. And you know what? You out there, give them a big hand, because they do a lot of things. And our entire leadership group do a lot of things. And appreciate y'all. Love y'all. Good night.